On this episode of the Camp Owners Podcast, Howie attended an awesome session at Camp Colab and he brought it to the Camp Owners Podcast. So we are sitting down with Shashi Rothschild with Work With Intent, and she is talking with us about making sure that that staff experience is year round. It's not just during the summer. There is no off season, people. There is no off season to creating your staff experience and how to do that holistically. I got some really great takeaways. So did Howie. I think you will as well, as we are coming into the staff season. Actually, I lied. It's staff season all the time, as we're coming into the camp season. And we hope you will have some great takeaways as well. Enjoy.
This is the Camp Owners Podcast from Go Camp Pro, exploring issues and best practices that professionals in the private camp industry face every day. You can find our show notes at gocamp.pro/ownerspod. Activity schedules are the backbone of every camper's experience. But if there's a staffing change, it's really hard to find a person that knows your camp and the nuance your schedule takes. Come check out Camptivities to learn more about our scheduling tools designed for camps by camp people. Find out more at camptivities.com. The Camp Owners Podcast is sponsored by CampBrain. CampBrain's camp management software not only provides a great management tool for you to have the best workday ever, but it's a delightful registration experience for your parents. CampBrain is not only focused on your needs for summer 2024, but for the next 25 summers and beyond.
Welcome to the Camp Owners Podcast, a space for camp owners to talk about the unique aspects of camp ownership and get inspired by each other. We are going to sit down with camp industry experts, leaders, and fellow camp owners to hear how the camp dream transpired for them, learn from each other, and discuss some of the biggest issues in the private camp industry. Hello, everyone. My name is Kelly Shuna. I am the executive director and co-owner of Hidden Pines Ranch Day Camp, located in Stillwater, Minnesota.
Hi, everyone. I'm Howie Grossinger. I am the co-owner of Camp Robin Hood, a day camp in the suburbs of Toronto, and a co-owner of Camp Walden in Northern Ontario. If you are looking to find and subscribe to the Camp Owners Podcast, you can either find us online at gocamp.pro/ownerspod or by searching for us in your favorite podcast app. Finally, if you're listening to this and think it would be useful to the other camp owners or aspiring camp owners in your circle, please feel free to send them a note to listen. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, my friend Howie. How are you?
Good. We're back together for a full episode. So excited.
Guess who's back? Yes. Back again. Yes. I miss you, but it was so fun to listen to you without me. You did so great, but it was kind of fun to be a listener and not the person on the mic. So yeah. You did me proud.
Well, I appreciate that. And we don't want to do that too often, but thanks for the green light to do a couple of those things. And it's been fun. And we're in the midst of conference season, Kelly, and lots of, I don't know how you're feeling, but my head's kind of exploding with all this great information that we're getting at all these professional development events, and excited to continue the conversation right now with a really, really wonderful guest. I'm really happy to introduce this topic to everybody. While we spent a good portion of this season discussing the various ownership and leadership models in the industry, we've decided to jump into a topic that I know is always on our mind, and that is staffing and the staff experience. Today, we have someone who's gone to some great lengths to kind of synthesize her thoughts on the staff experience based on the professional work she does and also her own camp experience. We are really, really excited to have Shashi Rothschild, who I was really happy to meet for the first time when I was in Liverpool in the fall at Camp Colab, a great staffing conference held last fall. And a huge shout out to camp leaders for putting on that event. Shashi and I and Sari got to know each other. She did a wonderful presentation, and I really felt that this would be something that we could have a conversation about and share with our listeners. So Shashi, welcome to the Camp Owners Podcast.
Thank you so much, Howie. Thank you so much to Howie and Kelly for having me. Like Howie mentioned, I had the pleasure of meeting him and Sari in Liverpool in the fall, and we had talked about me coming on the podcast eventually. So really excited that we were able to make it happen. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I think this topic that we're going to discuss today, Kelly and I feel, is a really good spot in the calendar too, as Many of us are really rounding out our teams at various stages and putting our summer teams together. So I think some of the stuff we're going to talk about is going to be really, really beneficial. Just like we do in every show when we have a guest, Shashi, like, tell us your origin story. Tell us your camp journey. I think it really sets the stage for what we're about to talk about. So yeah, take it from here.
Of course. Thank you. So I am coming at you today from a very chilly Montreal, Canada. I was born and grew up in Ottawa and have been living in Montreal for 17 years now, just over 17 years. So my camp origin story starts, like I'm sure many camp professionals' origin story starts, which is, you know, as a little kid going to camp for the first time. My first summer at camp, I was 9 years old, where it maybe is not the same as every other camp professionals is that I didn't not like camp as a camper, but I didn't feel that, you know, that, oh, this is where I belong. I'm such a camp person. It didn't click for me right away. I had a good time. I kind of mixed experiences. I kind of struggled with feeling like I fit in at camp, like I belonged. The camp that I was attending as a small camper was also a very small camp. So there was a very small group of people my age. So when you have kind of, you know, six other kids in your bunk, it's kind of hard to form friendships if you don't necessarily have anything in common with, you know, three of the six kids. So that, again, you know, it wasn't bad, but I would say it wasn't till my kind of older teenage years, maybe 14, 15, 16, that I started to feel like camp was a place where I really belonged and that I was, you know, a camp person. But I would say for me, the biggest change was when I became a staff member. And that for me was when I was like, you know what? Wow, this is my place. This is where I can shine. This is where I feel like I'm, you know, living to my fullest potential. And, you know, this is where I belong. So I worked at camp. I started when I was a 17-year-old staff, and I, you know, started as a bunk staff and then moved up the ranks, became a unit supervisor for 12 and 13-year-olds, which is an incredibly difficult age if anyone's ever worked directly with the 12 and 13-year-old kids. And then became program director eventually. And the camp that I was working at, program director, was a seasonal job, and it was kind of held by the older university age camp staff. So, you know, 21, 22 year olds. So I did that role for 2 years and then felt as though I was growing out of it. But, you know, really, I knew I wasn't done with camp. And like I mentioned a few times, the camp I was at was quite small in terms of the year round operation. So there was only the only person working full time year round at the time was the camp director. So I went to him and I said, you know, I think you should hire me as a full time year round, you know, associate director. And he was really wonderful and supportive and said, I would love to. But you know, we're a small nonprofit. We have to make sure the board, you know, approves. We have to find the budget. You know, can you maybe do some work to show how valuable you would be to the organization? So I like the joke that I just started showing up for work and eventually they had to start paying me. But I really kind of, you know, put together a job description and found some gaps in some work that could be done during the off season that wasn't being done. And where I really found that there was a gap was with, you know, staffing, and kind of made a job for myself that's focused not only on staffing and the staff experience, but that was really kind of what I ended up spending most of my time doing. So they eventually started paying me, which I was thrilled about, and, you know, showed up for work every day. And I ended up staying in that job for 8 years. And just, you know, really, really loved every minute of it. And while I was there in kind of the later years of my tenure there, I went back to school and I did a master's in organizational development. And I specifically focused my thesis research on the correlation between staff engagement, satisfaction, and retention in the workplace. And looking at, you know, if staff feel more connected to the work that they're doing, and if they're going to feel happier. If they're happier, they're going to perform better. And if they are happier and feel that connection and perform better, there is a bigger chance that they will either, if we're talking about a year-round organization, they'll stay for longer. And if we're talking about camping, that they will continue to come back year after year. And I started to see just so many places in the camping industry where we could be implementing, you know, practices that really kind of work towards ensuring that, you know, the staff experience is a good one, and that our staff are happy and engaged and satisfied in order to improve staff retention. And I know staff retention is something that is, you know, huge on camp owners and camp directors' minds right now, and everybody's talking about it. And this was, you know, this was still a while ago. This was about 10 years ago. So this was kind of when these conversations were starting to happen, but they hadn't quite exploded yet the way they have now. So anyways, after 8 years working full-time in camping and loving the work, I felt that it was time for me to make a change. I had already started taking on kind of small freelance contracts with community organizations in organizational development on the side. So I decided to start my own business, and I started my own consulting practice. That was in 2018 that I left camp and started working on my own. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And I always say there's really two sides to, well, there's two sides to me. There's always been my camp self and, you know, this kind of all in camp person. And when it comes to business, I still do a lot of work with the camping industry, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I also do kind of the other side of my business is I work with nonprofit, community, and arts-based organizations with a focus in strategic planning, organizational culture, and impact assessment. So helping businesses better understand how they can make strategic decisions for growth to further the impact of their work, better understand the impact that their services have on the communities they serve, and how to measure that impact and how to celebrate that. And then, of course, the organizational culture piece, which comes back to the staffing and, you know, making sure that your staff are happy, that you have a healthy staff culture. So that's one piece of the work that I do. But the camping piece, which, you know, I like to say, don't tell my other clients, but it's still kind of my favorite, is working with camps with a focus on staff experience. So everything from, you know, helping camp owners and directors look at their organizational culture and what are practices they can bring into their organization, into their camp, to help improve the staff experience, help improve culture. I also do a lot of work in staff training, design, and facilitation. So I'm very lucky. I get to go on a camp tour every June. You know, I hop in my car or on a plane sometimes and travel across North America. And I run training sessions for everyone from, you know, the leadership team to general camp staff. And one of the things that I like to do when designing those sessions is I speak to the camp directors and I ask them, you know, what were your biggest staffing challenges from last year? And what are the things that you're trying to, you know, to touch on this year in order to overcome those challenges? And then I customize workshops. I design them specifically for that camp to help them identify those challenges, to help them overcome them so that they don't face the same challenges year after year when it comes to their staffing. So that is what I'm doing now. And I just launched my website with, you know, under a brand new name for my consulting practice, which I have called Intent, which is a nod, obviously, to my camping background and my love of camping, but also the idea of making sure there's intentionality around all the decisions we make for our organization when it comes to culture, when it comes to living our mission and values, and implementing practices that are reflective of those. So if you want to check it out, it is workwithintent.ca. And you can kind of take a look at the work that I've been doing there as well.
I love it. By the way, CA for all you Canadians means camp appropriate to me. So when you say .ca, I'm like, oh, .campappropriate. Wait, Canada. Sorry about that.
Maybe it can work both ways.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's so funny.
Isn't that funny? I'm like, hey, that's CA. Wait, okay. Anyway, so I don't want to sidebar here, but I love that you, 8 years ago was that, or probably 17 years ago, that you went to your boss at that nonprofit and was like, you should hire me, and made a job description for yourself. I think that is something so important and a quality that I think is what it takes in camping, especially. And we can sidebar about this later, Howie, but I think that is part of what this field takes. Like, you want to own a camp, you want to be a director, you got to just go and be like, hey, I think you should hire me, and here's why. And I love that you designed and saw things. So anyway, little
nod for
people listening. That's not about our topic. But awesome. So will you talk to us a little bit? Like, why this topic? Why were you talking at the camp conference? What are you hearing from all of this going around to other camps and helping them with training? Like, what kind of trends are you hearing about from camp owners, directors, leaders about staff retention, engaging staff? Like, what are they wanting your help on right now?
Yeah, great. So I actually just spoke at the Ontario Camps Association conference two weeks ago. And the topic of my talk was, it was called There Is No Off Season, and looking at how we can improve the staff experience from application to arrival. And that's something that I wanted to talk about today, because I think, you know, when you ask why this topic, the staff experience, as I mentioned before, is something that is on the mind of, I think, all camp owners, directors, leadership members, is, you know, how can we make the staff experience so wonderful that our staff members not only come back, but that they tell all they bring all their friends. Staff retention is a massive challenge for camp directors and owners right now. We all know that. We know that there are a lot of camps that have focused on hiring a member of the leadership team who is specifically responsible for the staff experience. So whether that's a full-time position, whether it's, you know, kind of a May or June until September position, so many camps are really focusing on the summer experience for staff. And I think that's wonderful and so important and great. Where I think there's a bit of a gap is September to June, because I think, you know, for me, it's really important to look at the staff experience a little bit more holistically than what happens in the summer. Yes, it is so important that the staff come to camp and have a great time. And we know that this generation, kind of the Gen Zers, that it's less about them selling to us why they should work at our camp and more us selling to them what a wonderful experience this is going to be. I know that you've talked about this on the podcast before, but this idea of they're looking to know, what can I gain out of this experience? So all of that kind of focus on the summer, so important. But where I think we're missing the mark right now, and what I've been speaking to a lot of camp owners and directors about, is how do you make sure that your staff actually show up at camp? And when I opened my talk at OCA last week, I asked people in the session, you know, I said, raise your hand if you've ever had a staff member sign a contract. You know, they go through the interview, you're really excited about them, they sign a contract, let's say they sign it in January, February, and then for whatever reason, they don't show up to camp in June. And almost every single person in the audience raised their hand. And I'm sure that's something, you know, both of you as camp owners and directors, I'm sure you've experienced as well. So what I've been spending a lot of time thinking about is what is happening between September and June that is causing staff members to, you know, not show up. What is happening in terms of the way we're recruiting staff that is making it so difficult? And what are some ways we can take what we want our staff to experience this summer and kind of implement it into how we communicate with them and the touch points that we build in this so-called off season, which I'm putting in air quotes because we as camp professionals know that there is no off season. But I'm using that to refer to, you know, September to June. So how can we make sure that we are using the staff summer experience as a way to recruit staff and to engage with them throughout this off season so that they feel not just committed to showing up to their jobs, but really excited about working at camp all year round. So that come, you know, April or May, if they get offered an internship, if they got offered the opportunity to travel, if they get into a relationship with someone who's going to be in the city, that they're going to say, no, I'm still going to choose to work at camp this year because I'm so excited about it. And because I know this camp that I've chosen to work with is going to put my experience first.
I think it's so well outlined in your description, because I think that for so many years we've benefited from this almost like set it and forget it kind of approach, right? Where we just rode the wave of staff signing that contract, you know, looking at you. I'm not even saying looking at you. I'm referring to Zoom. I'm like, they were on the phone with me or in my office for an interview, and they look at you and say, "Howie, I'm coming," yeah. And then you get that call in June that something that seemed a little better wooed them away. And yeah. I think that the effort we make, and I know we've tried to make it a priority for us, Shashi, to do those things.
This episode of the Camp Owners Podcast is brought to you by Camptivities. Every year, it's the same thing. Lots of hours spent working on the daily schedule only to find mistakes, missed activities, and lots of stress along the way. Why is it so difficult? there's got to be a better way. And there is. That's where Camptivities comes in, an activity scheduler made specifically for camps by camp people. Group scheduling, camper scheduling, they've got you covered. Different day schedules, not a problem. Auto scheduling, you got it. Elective scheduling, you bet. Batch scheduling, yes. Schedule the way that works for your camp. With over 50 different reports, you'll be able to see the data easily. Make activity scheduling easier, less stressful, and more efficient. They'd love to show you the next big thing in camp. So don't wait. Start the onboarding process now while you have the time. Visit Camptivities.com to set up a time to chat. Let them help you get away from your desk and back out into camp.
What are some things that, you know, as you've been giving these talks and some of the recommendations that you're making, what are some of the top, you know, tricks and approaches or actually just philosophical considerations, you know, that we need to apply to maintaining the momentum of an excited staff member in February and keep that excited staff member's momentum towards arriving at camp, consistent? What are some thoughts on that?
Yeah, so a few things are coming up. The first thing that I want to talk about, because you mentioned kind of philosophical considerations, I always think it's really important for camps to have a mission statement that is reflective of either a mission statement that is reflective of both the experience for campers and for staff, or two separate mission statements. That's something I think about a lot because, yes, you are selling camp to your parents and your campers, but you're also selling the camp to your staff. And if we're so focused on staff experience, if I'm, you know, a new staff and I've never been to your camp before and I'm kind of browsing the internet looking for summer job opportunities, and I see that a camp has a specific mission statement geared towards staff members of, you know, what is the goal for how their staff experience camp that summer. To me, that says this is a camp that really cares about the staff experience a lot because they've taken the time to put it into their mission statement. So I think, making sure that mission statement are not just words, right? That you're not just talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. So looking to that mission statement to look at ways to engage your staff over those months from whenever they sign the contract, be it, you know, October, November, January till June. So I talk a lot about touch points. And, you know, making sure that our staff feel connected to camp in the off season. I think communication is like a big struggle. And especially with Gen Z, you know, they're not great with emails. That's not really how they're communicating. So sending out emails saying, even if it's a countdown, you know, we're so excited to see you in 100 days or whatever it is, that's probably not going to work with them. Making touch points that kind of speak their language and speak to what their apprehensions about the summer maybe. So I talk a lot about new staff and international staff who may not know a lot about what's going on at camp. So to, you know, have options for them to join information sessions, to reach out to them via text, which is a much easier way for people to communicate and check in and say, you know, not wait for them to come to you, but check in with them about questions they might have, you know, questions that for longtime camp people seem really simple. I remember I was working with a group of international staff and I did this whole info session and I showed them our camp video and, you know, what all the buildings look like and this and that. And at the end, one of them looked really nervous. And I said, you know, is there anything that you didn't learn about that you wanted to? And she said, where do I do my laundry? And like, for me, that was something that, you know, it's, you know, we've done laundry at camp the same way all the time. And you pack it up on one day and you send it out and it comes back. But for someone who doesn't know, that could be really anxiety inducing. So really kind of putting yourself into the shoes of a new staff member and what they may need to know to feel better about that experience. So that's number one. Number two, in terms of touch points, is helping people remember the impact of the work that they have done at camp the previous summer and that the work they will be doing. I love the idea of asking campers at the end of the summer to write thank you letters to their staff that they hand into the office. And then we mail them out around the time that applications open, which is, you know, very convenient. But to also do it throughout the year, what are reminders you can send to your staff members that help them remember the impact that they've made on kids, or if they are new staff members, help to show the impact that they are going to be able to make. Statements from campers about how excited they are to meet their staff is always, you know, that is always very helpful too. And then the third thing that I'll say is, if you are waiting until staff training week to start your onboarding, that is way too late. So to, you know, try to develop as many onboarding opportunities as you can, training opportunities during the off season, to engage staff. If you are a camp that has a lot of local staff, a retreat is such an amazing way to kind of get that energy of camp going. If your camp is Four Seasons, to bring your staff up to camp and do a weekend that is half fun and half training. And again, you know, save kind of the more camp specific training for the summer, because it's obviously very early in the season, but to do things like team building and communication and, you know, go over maybe what a day at camp looks like, have them meet their co-staff, you know, all of that bonding is going to make it harder for staff to say no to coming back to camp when they've already made friends. They've already kind of gotten a taste for that camp experience. I know that there are a lot of camps that choose to wait to share cabin assignments, bunk assignments, co-staff assignments until people actually get up to camp. And I know logistically some camps have to do that because their camper numbers are changing and they're not sure where they're going to place everyone in. I always say the sooner you can share with staff what age group they're going to be working with, what activity, who their co-staff are going to be, the better. Because if I know that in January and then I can do like a messaging group with my co-staff and we're talking back and forth and who's going to bring a fan and, you know, here's a cute activity I thought we could do with the kids, then again, there's probably less of a chance that I'm going to drop out because I'm going to feel accountable to those people. And I, you know, I'm going to feel part of a team. So I think that is really, really helpful as well. And I just want to say, if you have, you know, a lot of international staff, or, you know, you're not in a position to bring people in for a retreat, doing, having a camp director or a member of your leadership team travel to the major cities that your staff live in, and even just hosting like a, you know, like a dinner, a barbecue, something to kind of keep up that social connection is really important. Again, especially for new staff who may be very nervous about, you know, what are the people going to be like? And am I going to have any friends? So yes, all of those things I think are great ways you can kind of boost the engagement during the off season.
I like that. I think what you're speaking about, especially with the, you know, things that you're able to do for onboarding prior, that I'm hearing is building the connections with the people that you're going to be working with ahead of time. And almost just that feeling that other people are relying on you is what I'm hearing too. Like, these are your co-counselors. These are the other people you're going to be working with. And when you're establishing those relationships, you don't want to let them down by not showing up. So you want to show up because it is intentional and meaningful work. But I do think there is a part of meeting those people that you feel in, you know, a responsibility almost to each other once you develop that relationship to show up and be there for the summer. So
definitely.
I like a lot of those different ways to do it, whether it's in person or Zoom or connecting on Slack, whatever that is. So
yeah.
I also think that, you know, in a times, particularly in the day camp space where we often are hiring people, I can only speak for myself, but the number of new people I hire each summer who have literally no reference point to camp at all. These are, you know, young people whose families are first generation Canadians who heard about camp because they've been in school and their friends talked about camp, but they never got the opportunity. So a layer of this, it's almost as if I've kind of thought about the way that I know my overnight camp approaches the onboarding of international staff. I have to do with day camp staff in a similar vein because they don't have a reference point. Camp isn't something they grew up with, but they know that their friend in, you know, 11th grade at their high school talks about camp constantly and they want to give it a shot, but they really, you know, don't know much. So the touch points, and to your point, Shashi, you know, for us, what we found successful, and I know other camps are doing this in my conversations with them, I'm putting out a monthly newsletter. I'm giving updates about what's happening on the site. I'm actually doing video messaging in the newsletter of walking, doing a tour of camp and walking around camp. And these are things that at this time of year, as things are ramping up and contracts are being signed at the time that, you know, this is being kind of aired, I think this is the time to just get on it and ramp up the familiarity of what this experience will be. And I think that's what it is, because to your point, and Kelly and I've talked about this, like, so many things can be anxiety producing for our young staff, you know, and we can't predict what is anxiety producing for one person and isn't for another. And the more we can kind of just chat about this sort of like umbrella approach of things that just put us in a good position.
Yeah.
Can only be helpful is my guess. And yes, it's a little more work than we're used to, but boy, is it necessary.
Yes. And I, you know, 100%, I was also thinking while you were just talking that, you know, about, using the members of our seasonal leadership team. So your kind of head staff, your supervisors, you know, the best promoters of your camp are people that have been there and have had a great time. And so the idea of connecting, you know, how you mentioned these kind of younger, newer staff that don't know a lot about camp, that don't have that connection, what a great opportunity, not just for them to be able to meet those people and hear about how wonderful camp is, but to also form bonds with them so that if they do have a question, they have a number they can text. That they feel like they have a friend. And it also takes some of the workload off of, you know, camp professionals who, you know, obviously have a lot on their plate year round. Mm-hmm. I know one camp that offered, they would offer a stipend to members of the head staff team to then host dinners at their home for the staff who live in that area. So, you know, here's a few $100 to order some food and, you know, get some decorations or whatever it is and bring people into your apartment, your house, and just kind of like have everybody hang out and get to know each other. And I really love that because, you know, obviously I think you have to make sure that it's being organized by members of your head staff team who you trust. Mm-hmm. So that you know that what happens at those get togethers is all like going to be reflective of the experience they're going to have at camp that summer. I think that's really important. But it's a really great way to kind of informally create those ties as well as the more formalized things that are coming out of your camp office, which I think are also important as well.
Mm-hmm. Something you mentioned too was the idea of campers writing letters at the end of the summer to their counselors, and which is incredible. But if you haven't done that, something I think that isn't a lot of work, but we sometimes forget as camp owners and directors is to share snippets of those emails I know we all receive during like registration or, oh my gosh, blah, 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 is so excited. They were just talking about camp. Like, I think we see them and we're like, oh, and they fill our bucket. But if we all just took that one extra step to like screenshot that, put that in your Slack, put in your GroupMe, put in whatever it is channel that you use, those are the things, if you didn't already write the letters, that I think we can pass on, like to speak to your point about reminding them about the important work that we're going to be doing. So I like that.
Love that.
Howie, you had mentioned when we had talked about, you know, the session at Camp Colab about culture models. So do you want to ask a little bit more about that? Because I think that was something that you were really curious about.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, when I met Shashi, she talked about sort of like, you know, 30,000 feet about just this idea of creating happiness and being intentional about the various approaches to creating culture. And we've had some wonderful camp pros on the podcast talk about culture, etc. But I particularly like the way Shashi sort of framed this based on, you know, some of her, you know, educational background, which can only serve as sort of getting us to think about things in different ways. So Shashi, maybe you can just take a little bit to, you know, be professor a little bit on this one, maybe, and just kind of give us some things that we can, you know, hang on to and grab onto that might inform us about the intentional, very practical day-to-day things that we might choose to do and why the research maybe shows that this really has a valuable impact on what we want to create.
Yeah, definitely. I always warn people when I go into my talks that there is going to be a little bit of theory, but I do. I find it's really helpful in kind of just understanding why we say we should be doing the things that we should be doing, if that makes sense. So I had mentioned in my talk at Camp Collab, I had talked about Edgar Schein's organizational culture model. Edgar Schein was an organizational theorist, behaviorist, psychologist in the 80s and 90s. And he came up with this model that is, you know, pyramid shaped. Although I also like to use the iceberg analogy, which I know everybody's kind of used in different ways, but I think it's really meaningful here. And he kind of broke down three levels of organizational culture, and how they relate to one another and where the gaps are, to kind of help us explain how we can help close those gaps in order to improve our organizational culture and overall staff experience. So he kind of explains that, like I said, kind of if you picture a pyramid, that the very top level, the top of the pyramid, are artifacts. And these are pieces of organizational pieces of an organization's culture that are visible and tangible and can be viewed by someone even if they are on the outside of an organization. So I like to use the example in terms of camp. If I am a visitor to camp and I'm, you know, maybe I'm a prospective camper or parent that's coming for a tour one summer and I'm walking around the camp, I can see, I can take in with my senses different aspects of organizational culture based on just what I'm observing. So dress code, for instance, I can look around and I can look at how the campers are dressed, how the staff are dressed. Is everybody in a uniform? Are people wearing whatever they want? Are staff members who are playing sports wearing sneakers, or are they playing sports in flip-flops? Are they wearing t-shirts that maybe have like inappropriate slogans on them? Do people seem like very dressed kind of business style? And that will tell you a lot about an organizational culture. And, you know, those are things, again, that we can kind of take in from anywhere. If we're observing the organization, we don't have to be a part of it to take that in and to learn about culture. So that's the first level. The second level is what we call espoused values. And these are what an organization says it believes in. So these are kind of stated beliefs, stated values. This is where, you know, the idea of mission statements or values come in. Camp policies, if you're signing a contract, you're going to have a policy on maybe an anti-bullying policy, an anti-harassment policy, a social media policy. So this is where, this is what we are saying our organization believes in. So I've been using the pyramid model, but if you're thinking now about an iceberg, the top of the iceberg is kind of what you see the most. That's the artifacts. And then the espoused values, that second layer, is what you believe to be the base of the iceberg, the way you can see it, right? So you think that an organization is held up by its espoused values and then the artifacts on top. But what we all know now about icebergs, because I feel like they've been used so much in these analogies, is that under the surface of the water, there's a whole other level. And this is what people outside the organization cannot see. And these are the underlying beliefs or the enacted values. So this is how people within the organization actually do behave. And, you know, underlying assumptions that represent kind of what are the true beliefs and the true values that often go unspoken. So one of the examples that I use, and sometimes this gets me in trouble in the camping world, but is, you know, there are some camps where there is kind of an underlying belief amongst the staff members that it is harder to be a bunk staff than it is to be a specialist. If you are a staff member who is assigned to the same group of kids all day and in the overnight camp, you're living with them, that's going to be a much harder job than, you know, if you're a ski staff and you get to quote unquote hang out on the docks all day. So no camp that I know of is putting that on their website or writing that in their, you know, staff contracts. And if you are an outsider, you definitely don't see that anywhere. Hopefully you don't see it anywhere. But once you're in camp, you may realize like, oh, this is something that everyone believes is true. Or maybe, you know, another example is you can really only move up the ranks to the leadership team if you are a bunk staff. You know, they'll never hire a lifeguard to be a unit supervisor, let's say. So again, you're not putting this on your website, but it is a common belief held by the people who are part of your organization. So I like to look at the gap in between the espoused values, so what you say you believe in, and your enacted values, your what is actually happening. And I think especially when it comes to camp culture and when we're looking at the off season, how can we show that we actually live our values every day through the staff experience? And how can we close that gap in, you know, let's say one of our camp values is inclusion and belonging. What does that mean when a new staff shows up to camp for the first time and everybody enters the dining hall and starts singing a song that they've never heard of? Is that true inclusion? Does that staff member feel like they belong? Because the answer is probably not. And it's obviously not conscious. We're not, you know, we're not saying we're going to make all the new people feel excluded now, but looking really holistically about everything we do at camp when it comes to staffing, I mean, campers as well, but I know we're speaking specifically about staffing today. How can we help to close those gaps? So how can we make sure that, you know, if our mission is to encourage leadership development and growth within our staff, what can we do in the off season that we're demonstrating to staff? This isn't just talk. It's not just something we threw up on our website because it sounded good. This is actually something we believe in. And this is something that we work at, not just from June until the end of August, but year round as well. Yeah, so that's where a bit of that theory comes in. And I think it's I actually really love the idea of working with your head staff team to have them identify where gaps may exist between what your values are and what you're actually living day to day during both the summer experience and the off season.
So interesting, you know, because we put out there into the world our mission, vision, and values. And then I know that I'm very sensitive to the fact that if there's underlying talk amongst the staff that, oh, no one, someone's not going to get that job because of X, like I'm kind of like thinking about like where would they ever get that message, or being very introspective, are we giving off that impression? And I think that the exercise of examining, sometimes we fluff off those things to say, oh no, they just don't know what they're talking about. But yeah. I think that what I hear you saying, and Kelly, I think you and I are both sensitive to this too, is that, you know, we want to create an environment where staff have equal access to opportunity, and we want those things, and we want to create an environment that happens. And if we're getting rumblings that maybe people think that just doesn't happen the way that we say it is, we have an opportunity to address it and examine it and put things in place that maybe intentionally speak to those things as well. I know that your first example, and Kelly, I don't know if this applies at HPR, but this idea of the discrepancy between cabin leader versus the arts and crafts instructor and the relative hardships that those roles entail. I don't know if that's a thing, but I think it's fair to say that in every camp setting, people are evaluating the relative effort and challenges of each job. And maybe, you know, maybe we just need to do better of being more holistic in how each job impacts the greater mission. And sometimes, you know, I know that it makes me think about ways we can do it in my operation as well. Kelly, any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about, the other side of that conversation, mentioning like the first day and everyone walks into the dining hall and you start singing that song. And I think it's that hidden curriculum idea. I know Jack and Summer Camp Society talk about, but what I think is we all envision like, yes, let's like kick it off with this like fun camp energy and here we go. But you're right that the people that are newer are thinking, oh my, I don't know the song. Or like for my camp, we clap to signal that it's time to circle up. We start with a slow clap, and I just was picturing kickoff day. We were just planning and we start the slow clap and then the returners are like, oh yeah, we're going to do this. We really need to be like, hey y'all, welcome. We're going to start this clap and it's going to start slow and it's going to go fast. And then some people run in the middle, like describing it, even though we think we're just going to bring them in, like actually breaking that down right away from the beginning and then doing it. So like that was just a little thing that I thought about of like,
yeah.
We probably should explain that first.
Well, the one that comes to mind in my setting is that we have our traditional, you know, flagpole song. We sing Hands Are Strong and we ask people to stand beside each other and cross arms and hold each other's hands. And I remember that, you know, at staff training, we introduced the song. We don't give them a heads up that they're going to have to hold people's hands, right? Like, and I, it's funny now that we're talking about this and, you know, better late than never that I'm thinking about this, I guess. But the fact is that maybe we should do a better job of just giving a heads up that you're actually going to have to hold the hands, or we encourage you to hold the hands of the people singing the song. It's the tradition of what we do. So it's very illuminating, like just the and I think the exercise of even examining all these things is so helpful, right? I think this is what you're asking us to do, right, Shashi?
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's really helpful because there's going to be so many things that will come up. You know, camp is a place that is so steeped in tradition, which is one of the reasons why it's so special. But if you don't know what those traditions are, it can be very overwhelming. And just, you know, bringing it back to kind of the year round, the off season experience, the more of that kind of, I'm going to call it onboarding, which is a really not fun way to talk about, you know, popping and holding hands and all these fun camp traditions. But the more you can do that ahead of time, what a wonderful experience for a new staff member to get off the bus. A, actually know familiar faces because they've met them either virtually or through any of these meetups that you've had. So they have people to hug. I think that's a really big thing. You know, I'm going to get off the bus and everyone's going to be hugging and I have no one to hug. Make sure they have someone there that they know that's a familiar face, but also that when everyone starts clapping, that they know what to do. So what are ways during the off season we can share these experiences with them? Whether it's, you know, doing a training for new staff members, or whether it's, I love the idea of empowering our returning staff members to take part in that. So assigning each returning staff member a tradition and having them over the course of, you know, the off season, whether it's through like a staff, you know, like an Instagram page or like a Snapchat group or whatever it is, Slack, however they're communicating, to have one returning staff member explain one camp tradition. So that when you get to camp, because what you don't want is the returning staff members to kind of start eye rolling, being like, well, why do I have to explain this? Like, it's kind of ruining the magic, because that also creates that divide, you know, that like inclusion belonging divide between returning and new staff members. So how can you make sure that when your staff members get off the bus, everybody's starting from the same level, right? Everybody has someone to hug. Everybody knows when to clap. Everybody knows how meals work. And there's obviously things that, you know, we can't go over everything before the summer starts, but what are the big things so that the smaller things don't matter as much and don't, you know, cause people to feel excluded in as big of a way? Because if I know at least three or four traditions, and maybe there's a few smaller ones I have to learn, that's going to feel much better than all of a sudden everyone starts like holding hands and singing and I have no idea what's going on.
I love that. I'm just, my wheels are turning of like when our leadership council meets, of using them like one in front of our camp sign, like as a returning counselor, like, hey, there's going to be a couple of us waving and here's what the driveway looks like in the sign. So you don't want to miss it. And then another one, all right, here's where you're going to park your car. And then you're going to walk into camp. And then another one, here's maybe some people and they're greeting and then talking about the clap then. So you're right. Then I don't have to stop and explain. We've explained it by another, you know, returning staff member, even before your new orientation, your new staff orientation, which we do via Zoom, just using the power of like our communication and video, and even you, Howie, like, yeah, we're going to hold hands for our song. And you know what? You might want to turn to the person next to you and be like, hey, let's shake hands first, because we're going to be holding hands in a couple seconds, and to your left and right. But
absolutely.
I like that. I like using the returning staff, because we all think of ourselves because we're like, oh, I had this idea, I'm just going to do it. But I like using the returning staff to do some of that. That's smart.
I also think that, you know, another idea is obviously TikTok is huge right now. TikTok videos are huge. Like, have your returning staff do a series of TikTok videos. These are the fun camp traditions that you should know about. It's great for campers too. Like, it's great for new campers that they get to learn, you know, your special dances and your special cheers and chants. And, you know, even this is something for ahead of time, but to think, you know, this summer to potentially film videos that you can then share throughout the year. This is what the beginning of a mealtime looks like. And this is something that, you know, I think would be really fun for the returning staff members to get into. And it would also be helpful for, you know, new staff as well. Obviously.
I also think that an added benefit to all this great advice and this framing of the September to June off-season kind of stuff is that we also have to realize that depending on our staff age, many of us are dealing with high school age, early university age people. They make up the bulk of our staff. And I think that often parents of those staff will say, hey, have you heard from your camp? Like, are you excited? Or, you know, have they been in touch? And I think that these things also kind of bridge parents being informed of what their child might be getting into, because hopefully there's good communication there and there's some sharing. But I think sometimes, you know, parents can either be a force for good in saying, hey, stick with this, you know, it's going to be good, you made a commitment. Or they may say, you know what, if you're not feeling it, then just don't do it, which we're tending to see a little bit now. Some parents are just feeling, well, if you're being anxious, if you're anxious about this, like, you know, the phrase of you can do tough things isn't always the go-to position of a parent encouraging their kid to do something. I just see an added benefit of all this great onboarding, off-season communication. It just builds a base of knowledge that allows for, you know, continued encouragement to follow through on something you made a commitment to. So just, Kelly, I just, my head is on this kind of the full package. I know some of us are less inclined to engage parents of staff. Some of us are feeling we need to do it or want to try it. There's a whole, you know, spectrum of attitudes and approaches to this, but I just think there's an element of just, you know, greater communication between staff member and their parent, again, depending on their age and where they're at. But I don't know. That's just what comes to mind. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think what you're speaking to a lot is, I notice whenever we have a returning staff on our Instagram or some kind of social media, some kind of post, they share that post all the time, every single time. And so I think if we're highlighting them and talking about traditions or even with camper routine, them sharing it, then I think also speaks to their parents, like, ooh, I saw you on blah, blah, blah camp's Instagram. Like, I saw you like being a leader, role modeling. I just think it helps with that parent seeing this job as a benefit to their kid and how their kid is growing and being a leader. So I think it helps all facets of camp, which is really what we're looking for. So that's awesome.
Hey folks, it's Matt here, and I'm the producer of the Camp Owners Podcast, and I wanted to remind you that we are so grateful for the support of Camp Rain for bringing this podcast to you. Camp Rain's camp management software is one that has been supporting camps, over 1,700 camps, with all of their registration needs. They've got fundraising, they've got staff modules, they're constantly working to improve the experience and be responsive to what camps need. And as someone who has previously been the director of a Camp Rain camp, I want to say one thing that really makes them stand out to me is their incredible customer service. They are so easy to get a hold of and help whenever you need something. They make it very clear about how they can support you, what you'll need to do to go forward, and they get you back on track and ready to go. Whether it's reports or technical needs or helping camp parents, they are such a great resource and their team is great. So all of us here at the Camp Owners Podcast definitely encourage you to go check out Camp Rain. You can find out more at camprain.com/ownerspod. All right, back to the show.
All right. Well, any other final thoughts, suggestions about making the staff experience a more holistic, I don't want to say experience, I said experience twice, but making the staff experience holistic instead of just like focusing on the summer experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think really just looking at the staff experience as like one big circle, one big cycle, that there's really no end and no beginning. I really like to encourage camps, you know, ideally your staff are getting evaluated, I mean, multiple points in the summer, but definitely at the end of the summer, and to take some time during that evaluation to turn it into an exit interview, and to start conversations about the following summer in the summer that you are in. So, you know, to start talking to staff about what role they might like to be in, about if they'd like to, you know, move up into a more leadership position, but also to ask them, you know, about their experience and what they liked and what they would change for next time. I love the idea, you know, again, I'm kind of thinking like cyclically. So you're finishing off the summer, already talking about next summer, you're doing an exit interview, that you are really considering the staff experience at every step of the way. So I always say, if you want it to be clear that your staff values, sorry, that your camp values staff and values the staff experience, think about the way you're communicating with them. Are you communicating with them in the way they want to be communicated with? If you are, you know, signing people up for interviews, Are you working around their schedule, or are you giving them, you know, one time slot and saying, make it work? Because that says a lot about, you know, how you value the staff experience. So if you say to a staff member, let me know when you're available, or here are multiple time slots, please pick one that works for you. If you're showing up on time to those interviews, the way you're communicating, all of that, I think, plays into kind of looking more holistically at the staff experience. And then also, you know, we talked about as many kind of onboarding or staff training touch points in the off season. I think also speaking to your staff, new and returning, about what they would like to learn during staff training. What are skills that you are hoping to grow? What are some things that you maybe you're anxious about and you want to make sure we touch on? Having those conversations in, you know, January, February, March, taking notes and then designing staff training sessions based on those. Not only is it kind of speaking directly to these challenges that the staff are facing and making sure you're training them in the ways they need to be trained, but it's also showing that you value your staff's opinion and that you're going to go to them for things. And again, it's kind of reflective of that staff experience we want to be selling for the summer. I'm going to ask you in the off season what you think of things, which means that during the summer, I'm going to ask you what you think of things and I'm going to value your input. So I think all of that, you know, are really great ways to kind of look at the staff experience more holistically. And again, just make sure you are seeing it. There's no beginning and an end. It's ongoing. And how can we make sure that, you know, the group of staff that we have this summer sees their relationship with camp as ongoing, whether they are able to return. I mean, ideally they're coming back to staff as staff the following summer, but if they're not, they're turning into alumni, and that's a whole other conversation. But then how do we engage them at that point? And kind of making sure that the camp experience never ends for them. I think that's kind of the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Two takeaways that I just had when you were sharing that was one, if we feel brave enough, which is, you know, taking off our personal defensive armor that we all wear about our camps. But in your end of the summer survey, put a ranking scale on your staff mission and how well did we do? Like a 1 to 5, how well did we do on inclusion?
I love that.
This is scary, but I think we can do it, Holly. But I was just thinking, like, how well did we do on making you feel included, on communicating, whatever? And that can really give you like a guide and a map for what do we need to work on in the off season. Let's do that, Howie. That's scary, but let's work on that next fall. But then I love my second takeaway of what you just said, and I'm going to do is in my Slack channel, we are planning staff training, like the whole schedule right now. What do you want to know? What are you wondering about? I love that. Like asking them is great. This is great. Some great takeaways. Again, we could talk forever, but we do need to end at some point, which Howie and I are not good at, but I'm working.
No, not at all.
I know, Howie, but you know, we're not perfect. We have ways to grow. So
yes, we do.
All right. This was awesome. Thank you so much, Shashi. It just was fabulous. I really appreciate it. I have a lot of personal takeaways for myself, and I hope others will as well. So it is time though to move on to the end of our show, where we like to share something that's inspiring us right now. It can be a book, article, podcast, documentary, leadership quote, really anything that's putting the fire in us, especially as the heat is turning up on the burners of camp approaching. So we're going to share, Howie and I, and then we'll ask if you'd like to share something. So Howie, do you want to start with something that's inspiring you right now?
Yeah, something that just recently came out from the Canadian Pediatric Society was an article that's been widespread nationally, just pediatricians are saying that unstructured outdoor play and in particular risky play is essential for physical, mental, and social development of children. And boy, oh boy, hasn't the camp world been saying that for years? Thank you, doctors. However, I've put an article, a link in the show notes, and hopefully people can grasp onto it. But it becomes for me, this article has actually set the stage for some really good communication in our forthcoming spring parent information guides about why being an outdoor camp the way we are, you know, is kind of connected to this messaging from doctors. And we all take what doctors say as truth, right? Don't we? So the point is, why would they listen to a camp owner or a camp director? So I want to be able to kind of, from a marketing point of view, be able to marry sort of what we've been saying for so many years about free play and properly supervised unstructured play and kids recognizing risk and then taking risk. Like, this is what we do. And now I feel there's an article, at least in my neighborhood, that I can kind of share with my families and check it out. It's good. I'm sure there are ones referencing other jurisdictions that are similar, but I thought it was timely and something that I really appreciated reading from them. So that's my inspiration.
Awesome. Oh, I can't wait to read that, Howie. Thank you. Mine was shared to me by our friend of the show and sponsor, Ryan Rosen from Camptivity. Hey, I know, Ryan. Nice. Look at him, a man of many talents. I reached out to him because we have our leadership team retreat this weekend, which I know, Howie, you do one as well. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing our directors, assistant directors, associate directors, et cetera. And I needed something awesome because I have done two awesome things in a row and the pressure is on. I've done it to myself. why do I do that? But anyway, I reached out to him about a good idea and he had this activity for me that is about what is your communication style like when you're stressed? And so it's using this scale and then it looks at once you get a score, if you are a driver, if you're amiable, if your expression. So I'm kind of nervous because, you know, when you get like seen for who you really are in stressful situations, I think it's going to be one of those, but very vulnerable, which is my style I like to have. But I think it'll be really helpful. So we're going to talk about what are we like when we stress? What does it look like? And what do others perceive it as? So I'm really excited to use the tool that Ryan helped me with.
Yeah.
And so if it's great, I'll share it. But I'm feeling inspired by that. So awesome. All right. Shashi, do you want to share with us what is inspiring you right now?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Kelly. I just want to say that tool sounds really interesting and definitely up my alley. So please do share. And I'm, you know, curious to hear about your experience with that. I wanted to share a podcast that I've been listening to for a while now by the Harvard Business Review, and it's called Women at Work. And if you've never listened to it, I think they've been on, you know, since I think probably around 2018, 2019, maybe. So lots of episodes to look back at. But they, you know, talk about, each episode talks about different issues that women face in the workplace. And I think, the, you know, camping industry has come very far in the past few years, but can still sometimes feel a bit like an old boys club in some ways. And I, you know, personally, I think I've gained a lot of inspiration from, you know, the topics that they cover in the podcast. They speak about everything from, you know, kind of covert sexism in the workplace, what competition looks like, family and family management, decision-making, conflict, things like that. And I think that, you know, as a woman, that it's been really inspirational to me, but I think also as managers, as camp owners and directors, if you are, you know, if you identify as a woman or if you work with people who identify as women, it's really helpful to kind of understand some of the challenges that women face in the workplace. And I think, you know, listening to these podcasts are inspirational for me, but also I think as a manager and as someone who works with others, really helpful as well. So I, yeah, encourage you to take a look. Their most recent episode is on sexism and how sexism is everywhere. And I think that's also interesting to kind of look at our camps and where might there be kind of these underlying covert expressions of sexism that we're maybe not aware of.
Really appreciate that, Shashi. Very important topic. I am blessed to be surrounded by strong women who make their mark in this industry. One of them is on this podcast with me, who's featured in so many great ways in our industry and doing her thing. So I'm glad you brought that up. It's really, really important. Thanks for sharing that. So Shashi, great topic, great contribution. So glad we got you on to share the work you've been doing, a small part of the work that you do, of course. If people want to connect with you, if people want to get in touch, ask you more questions, et cetera, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, so you can find me, like I mentioned, my website is www.workwithintent.ca. And again, as Kelly mentioned, the CA stands for Canada. You can reach me, srothchild@workwithintent.ca. I'm also on LinkedIn at srothchild. Susanna Rothschild, actually. I should say my full name is Susanna. I go by Shashi in the camping world. So on LinkedIn, I'm under Susanna Rothschild. And yeah, my intent is not on social media channels yet, but stay tuned because it is coming.
All right.
look forward to that for sure. And Kelly?
Mine would be Kelly with a Y at hiddenpinesranch.com. I also, on my show notes, have my Instagram and our camp's Instagram channel. What about you, Howie?
Yeah, same with me on the Instagram stuff. Reach out, check out our show notes. If you want to reach out directly, it's howie@camprobinhood.ca. Again, there you go. A little bit of a Canada domination in this show right now, Kelly, but you're really close to Canada, like really close. So feel like it's a Canadian episode almost, because you throw the A down really well. So congrats. Huge shout out to our show sponsors, Camp Brain and Camptivities. We couldn't do it without them, and really appreciate their ongoing support of this podcast. Please don't forget that you can find all of our show notes at gocamp.pro/ownerspod. You can find the resources that we mentioned in this episode and lots of good stuff there from our show and the other great Go Camp Pro podcast. So check it out. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Camp Owners Podcast, and please join us again next time on the Camp Owners Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Camp Owners Podcast. If you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, you can find our show notes at gocamp.pro/ownerspod. The Camp Owners Podcast is part of the Go Camp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp pros of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a Go Camp Pro podcast, a masterclass, from the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook, at a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, we can encourage Camp Pros to keep freely sharing their brilliant ideas and make the camp industry better. Thanks very much.